Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening to each and everyone. We thank and praise the Lord today. Today is Thursday. You know, I tell you, this month have really, it's the old saints used to say, it surely done went by fast. Today is the 29th, and we thank and praise the Lord for the day, because truly, truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I pray you choose to rejoice in every day that you live, because knowing, because he lived, you can face tomorrow. You know, that's one of them old hymns that when I was coming up in the church, and one of my former leaders, the late Apostle Ida Bell Parker, used to sing, because he lived, I can face tomorrow. And you know, because of Jesus' death, his coming, death, burial, and resurrection, do you not know that the greater one is on the inside of you? And regardless whatever the day may bring, you can face it with courage, with boldness and strength, knowing that the Lord thy God is with you. Yes, you know, my ministry really mostly minister about the already. And when we talk about the already, we're talking about what Christ came to do. You know, we've been in Hebrews, we've been talking about the covenant, you know. And in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we have a better covenant with better promise. And we've been trying, as the Lord lead us, to try to get you some, give some knowledge and understanding pertaining to a covenant. You know, we in this, in the New Testament, which is the new covenant, it's a better covenant than the old covenant. You know, I was reading about Moses and you know, I tell you, but really, the more I go back and read and been doing the study about covenant, it let me see how God, like the Bible said, God is faithful. God been faithful with his covenant to a thousand generations. God even said he would not break his covenant nor alter the things that go out of his mouth. And I tell you, my brother and sister, I see the importance of why we need to get in the Word to read and everything. But, you know, we talked on Monday, we talked about persevering in spite of difficult times. And in the time that we're living in, and some of you probably hear me prophesy this, and I'm going to keep saying it because God gave it to me. Y'all, we living in the greatest hour. Now I want you to view that from the faith perspective, based upon what God's word say. When I go in the Old Testament and I read about how God showed up, and some use the term not God showed up and showed out. It had to be something going on, you know. When God showed up for the three Hebrew boys, they were facing the fire furnace. They even were put in the fire furnace. And God showed up mighty, awesome. He did the impossible. Well, then you go on to when you read about Daniel, when Daniel was put in the lion den, if he had never been put in the lion den, then guess what? God, you wouldn't have seen God do the miraculous. Don't you know back then and even now, it's impossible for somebody to be in the den with lions all night long and they don't attack them. Don't you know that was impossible back then? But guess what? God showed up. And I'm telling you, what we're dealing with and our surroundings, we see some things happening that we ain't never seen before in our life. But guess what? God is still on the throne. God haven't forsaken his people. What it is, a lot of his people don't know who they are in Christ. I said this before. In the body of Christ, we have an identity Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Y'all, this is so important. I had to, for years, I struggled with my relationship with God, because to be honest about it, I didn't know that after I got born again, I supposed to develop a relationship with the Lord. a lot of times I'm transparent and I give my testimony. And, you know, I know everybody's relationship with God is different, and God don't deal with everybody the same way. But I do know this. All of us have to live by faith. The Bible tells us we have to walk by faith and not by sight. But for years, I did not know. You know, yeah, after I got saved and got delivered and stuff, I thought I'm ready to go to heaven. I did not know how to occupy on this earth and live a victorious life until Jesus come. I didn't know that. I didn't know how to do that. But as I got in his word and I began to meditate on the word of God, and I began to find out my God responsibility to me, but mine as well to God. And I find out it's a process. You don't get there overnight. But you have to be diligent, you know. So there too again, like I said, we've been talking about we've been in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I call it the Heroes of Faith. Some say the Hall of Faith. But when I studied it, and when I mean study, I mean I've really been getting into it and really finding out. Because there's so many things that in this hour and time would detract you from the word, you know. But God intended for his people, just like he did in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, God intended for his people to experience victory. Now, what messed up the children of Israel a lot of times, they failed when it came down to they keeping they part of the covenant. You know, all through, you know, from you know, especially in Deuteronomy, you see it, Exodus, you see, God was always telling them, if you hearken to my voice and keep my commandments. But they kept violating the laws and principles. They weren't doing what God told them to do. And every time they disobeyed God, they found themselves in trouble, having trouble with their enemy. Now, y'all, that it haven't changed that much. We living in a time now, and like I said, since we have we're in a new covenant with better promise. And like I said, somebody said, I'm getting tired of you talking about that now. Yeah, but see, sometimes you can hear it one time. That don't mean you got it. That's why God told Joshua it was a must that he meditate on the laws and the commandments at that time, day and night. And he said, by you meditating on it, you will learn to do it. He commanded, he said, I command you be strong and very courageous. You know, y'all, we in a spiritual battle. Believe it or not, we live in two worlds, a spirit world and the natural world. You cannot see the spiritual world with your natural eyes. You can't see it. But if you ain't been born again, you don't know nothing about no spirit. You say you do, but you don't. But we dealing with, according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Apostle Paul said that we ain't wrestling our fight, a battle. It's not with flesh and blood. We dealing with invisible beings that is evil, that hate us, and going to extreme magic to try to destroy us. These invisible beings, they have voices, and they inject thoughts to your mind. I was talking to a young man on Sunday. I got a call from somebody. This young man had been plagued and being tormented with suicide thoughts and saying that he talking about dying and all. I said, son, that is not God talking to you. And it's not. You ain't going to be able to discern the voice of God and the voice of Satan if you're not spending time in his word. And I don't know about you. Sometimes it's a battle for me to get in the word. But I found out, why is it hard? Why it seems like I can't get in the word sometimes? And the Lord began to revelate to me. He said, the enemy, if he can keep you from reading my word, then you won't be able to know or be able to discern when he's speaking to you or when I'm speaking to you, you know. And I'm telling you, Jesus said the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. And I'm telling you, in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse, it said, but now have he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promise. And I'm telling you that you're in covenant with God. If you're a born-again believer, You are in covenant with Almighty God. I want you to hear me. God told Abraham. He told him, okay, he told him in Genesis, I think in Genesis, the 17th chapter. He told Abraham about the covenant. He said, your seed will be blessed, all the nation. Well, let's go there. I like to show it to you in the work of sometimes people are like, well, you just saying that, no, you need to know that. Some of you struggle in life because you don't know who you are, and you letting the enemy just do what he want to do to you when he feel like it. I done been down that road. The enemy had me thinking that God didn't care about me, that God didn't love me. Come on. I went through that. Now, don't get me wrong. We all going to, you're going to have battles as long as you're on this earth. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have it. You're going to have trouble. Trouble comes to everybody. But sometimes if you observe it, it seems like some people, like they live it like they don't never have to deal with any affliction or persecution. That's somebody done found out who they are in Christ. They done found out. It, yeah, trouble going to come, but thanks be to God through Christ always give me the victory. I'm victorious. I have faith to overcome it. You know, but when I mentioned in the beginning of the broadcast, when I said we're living in the greatest hour, whatever situation you dealing with, my brother, my sister, if it's impossible to you, all you got to do, get in the Bible and find out what God said about it. It's not one situation or one thing that could ever happen to any of us on this earth that God have not addressed it through Jesus coming, death, burial, and resurrection. And God tell us what is impossible to man. What is impossible to man is possible to God and to them that believe. And I'm telling you, since I've been going back and trying, you know, studying about the old covenant and all that, it just really blessed me to see. And like I said, that in Genesis, the 17th chapter, when God told Moses, not Moses, God told Abram. He was named Abram at that time. God told him, he said, if when Abram was 90 years old, and now he was 99 years old, he said, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am thy almighty God. Walk before me and be thy perfect. Now, he wasn't talking about without fault, but he was telling Abraham, other words, do what I tell you to do. And, you know, whatever God asks us to do, it's not hard to do. What make it hard when we don't really want to do it? But anyway, he said, I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And I'm going to drop down for time. So it's, for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Ain't that something? I'm going to drop down some more for time's sake, the seventh verse. He said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and this generation. And he said, in everlasting covenant. We are in that everlasting covenant. But there too, again, you need to have some knowledge. You need to get some knowledge. You need to get some understanding about this covenant. On last Friday, Armstrong, Apostle McIntyre, well as myself, was sharing on Friday night, but most Apostle McIntyre was sharing about the lack of understanding, the lack of knowledge, and what happened to us when we operate in lack of knowledge, lack of understanding of who we is in Christ and what God wants us to do. And I'm telling you, it's so important, you know. I used to think that everything that God promised me, it'd have overnight. And then when I got in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I found out the Bible says some died without receiving the promise. And see, that's what I'm saying there too. Again, I'm telling you, it's so much. But he said, our everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. Now that word seed, it's plural. See, Jesus was the one we're going to pick up and cause the covenant to be a better covenant. That's why Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come. He had to die. And if you go read that, go in Galatians and read those, I think it's 6th chapter. If you go read them, you will find out through Jesus' resurrection, through he getting up. Even when he came, Jesus lived a perfect life. He fulfilled every covenant. Not covenant, I'm sorry. He fulfilled every law, every law that God required for mankind to do. And that's why the Bible says he is our high priest. And I'm telling you, some of you is lacking knowledge and understanding about covenant. It's not one thing that you and I need on this earth that God have not, it's in the covenant. It's in the covenant. And then he going to tell me, he said, I will give. I'm in Genesis 17 chapter, and I'm at the 8th verse. He said, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in this generation. This is my covenant with ye. Now, we're going to go into, I want to go to Exodus, the 2nd chapter, because I want to show you the importance of obeying. Well, the Bible tells us in the New Covenant, he said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And y'all listen, it is so important, very important, when we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and he give us instruction, because Jesus said that he wasn't going to leave us comforted. He was going to give us another comforter. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit abides in you. If you haven't invited the Holy Spirit to come in, like they did in the upper room, the Bible tells us after Jesus had been resurrected, he told them to go to the upper room. And he told them to wait on the promise. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. That was the comfort. He told them in the Gospel of John, he said, I'm going to give you another comforter. He's going to be to you as I was. He's going to lead. He's going to guide. He's going to teach you. And Jesus even said he's going to bring things to your remember that what I told you. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And I'm telling you, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you can ask the Holy Spirit to come in. Holy Spirit, I need a teacher. And according to the word of God, you will come in and dwell in me. You will lead and guide me in all truth. You will convict me. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to come and dwell in me. And y'all, here come. I'm telling you from my own experience, here come. And I'm telling you, that's why I said, when some people say, you know, I was talking to a lady today in the store, and she was telling me about her husband took the COVID shot. And listen, don't let fear get on. Sometimes when we hear certain things, and I pray, Father, I even pray today that the Holy Spirit, as we speak, that he will bring enlightenment and understanding to your people. I plead the blood of Jesus against the spirit of fear. I bind up every evil force that will try to come and intercept what you were saying to the people. But the Holy Spirit will cause your people to hear. The Holy Spirit will bring clear to understanding about what you would have me to share this afternoon. But anyway, but she was sharing about they were told her husband to take the COVID shot, and she said that night after he took it, he had a major stroke and died. And she said, but the Lord didn't lead me to take it. And there too, you see, the Holy Spirit is the one to lead and guide us. There's a lot of voices speaking to people now. But I tell you, if you're a born-again believer, get acquainted with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ain't going to never tell you and I to do something that's going to violate what this word say. A lot of people, the Holy Spirit ain't going to tell us to do something the word ain't told us to do. He's going to always have us to do what the word say. That's why Jesus is going to bring things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit will tell you what job to take. He'll tell you when you need to be quiet. The Bible said he'll give us what to say in the moment of the hour. And I'm telling you, this is so real. But like I said, I'm going to show you something. As I said, we talked about Monday about persevering. And I tell you, we have to. But like I said, we're in the greatest hour because, look, for whatever you're dealing right now, if it's an impossible situation, my brother, my sister, let me tell you something. That's a good opportunity for God to show up and show himself strong in it. But you got to believe and ask and believe and trust him to show up in your situation. I was at a seminar maybe a couple months ago, right at the first of the year, and Brother Dwayne Norman, he said something that really ministered to me. He said, anytime you find yourself getting frustrated, he said, you're out of faith. He said, God revealed that to him one time and to Brother Keith Moore. And y'all, let me tell you, it's a lot of people is frustrated and aggravated because they haven't seen the promise of God fulfilled in their life. As I say all the time, the shortage is not in God. The shortage is not in God. The shortage in us. And the devil is not a bigger problem, a bigger threat to you than he wants you to be, wants you to believe. Anytime you don't know who you are in Christ and what God requires from you or who your enemy is, sometimes I hear people say, y'all always exhorting the enemy. No, 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 I'm not doing that. But you need to know your enemy. You need to know your enemy, not so you can be fearful of it, but to know that he's defeated and how, even though he's defeated, he wants you to believe he's not defeated. And see, Satan and demons can inject thoughts in your mind, and they always going to be contrary to what God says. They inject thoughts of fear, thoughts of stress, overwhelming, frustration. He'll do that. You see, it's because the devil know that he can't stop you without your permission. I'm going to tell you, when that revelation came to me, oh, years and years and years and years and years and years ago, when God first revelated that to me, he was like, wait a minute, Lord. What you saying? You mean to tell me the enemy can't do no more than I allow him? He said, yes. And that's when the Lord began to show me through the word of God. God showed me through his word how the enemy, he cannot make us do anything but what he does. He put pressure on our will. He put pressure on our will. And the more he put pressure on our will, if you allow him, because he know the power of the tongue. The Bible said life and death is in the power of the tongue, but a lot of people don't believe that. They haven't come into that knowledge. They haven't come into that understanding and revelation. You can be snared by your own words. And so the enemy know, if I can put a little bit pressure, more pressure on them, they're going to begin to speak. One of the laws of God, you have what you say. Some people say, well, I've been praying for a long time, and I still ain't received what God say. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. What you saying can intercept and stop what God want to do. And that's why I say it's so important to get in the word to find out these laws. But I want to talk about Moses. And we talked just a little bit about it Monday, not as much as I wanted to. But in Exodus, the second chapter, I want to show you something. Exodus, the second chapter, I want you to look at that 24th verse. And at that 24th verse, it's in God, the 23rd verse, Exodus 2 and 23. It's in, it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel by reason of abundance, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the abundance. Now listen. Now, God had made this covenant with Abraham, Genesis 17, Genesis 15. God made a covenant with Abraham and told him about his seed, that people were going to be blessed because of him. Now, this was after Abraham was gone. Abraham was gone. He was off the scene. He was dead. He was gone. But God still remembered his promise to Abraham. These were Abraham's seed. I want you to see this here. It said, I'm going to read the 23rd verse again. It said, and it came to pass, like as you had to read about it, this was after, this when God was calling Moses You're going to call Moses and tell Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And all of that because God remembered his promise to Abraham. God even told Abraham that his people were going to be in bondage for 400 years. Y'all, God is a covenant God. And he keep his promise. That's why when you hear people say, you need to read the Bible. Some people, why do you need to read the Bible? You need to find out who God is, and you need to find out who you is and what God requires from you. You see, God chose you. You live it. According to Scripture, God chose you before the foundation of the world to be on this earth at this time. I went through so much one time in my life. Over 47 years ago, I didn't want to live. Why you even put me on the earth, God? I was mommy complaining like that because of what I was experiencing in life. And after I got saved and I started reading God's word and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me through the word, God said, I chose you before the foundation of the world to be on the earth at this time, Anne. And then he took me to Jeremiah 29:11, and he said, guess what? He said, my plan, I know the thoughts I have about you, the plan I got for your life, man. Not a life of sadness and sorrow all the time, but joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. I plan good things for you, Ann. And I'm saying, you know, how can that be? When I'm experiencing all this turmoil, all this stress, all of this affliction, all of this grief and sadness, how in the world can that be possible? But see, that's an unrenewed mind. I had an unrenewed mind. My mind, and I was conformed to the world, what the world said. The world said, it's about God, I would take that on. And some of you just like that. Instead of you finding out what God said about you, you let other people dictate you about who God is and what God will do. I tell people all the time, my faith is not in other people's experience with God. Now, some people's experience with God can increase my faith. It can encourage me. It can strengthen me. But guess what? My faith is in what God's word says for the most of it, and that's what you're supposed to be. I used to have put my faith in other people experience with God, and when things didn't go well with them, they didn't see the promise of God fulfilled for whatever reason it was, they would be sad, I would be sad. Thank God for the late prophet Martha Jean Hill. That was one of my mentors. She helped me. She told me I needed to develop a personal relationship with God, a one-to-one with me, God, through his word. Andele Boshaka. And so the point I want to show you, and this is what he's saying. Look at that 24th verse, Exodus 2:24. His and God hear their groaning, and God remember his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You see that? See, God had made a promise. Remember, I read it to you. In Genesis the 17th chapter, God said an everlasting covenant. And God remembered the covenant that he made. Let me tell you something. In Hebrews the 8th, don't you know God remembered the covenant he made with Abraham and with Jesus about us, and Jesus sealed that covenant? That's why I say it's so important. God know what he told Abraham about you and I. One of my confession is the blessing of Abraham is upon Prophet Miller life. Divine protection, divine prosperity, increase, healing. I said that. When the enemy trying to put pressure on me. Oh, yeah. Listen, like I said, trouble come to everybody. Nobody excluded from trouble. Don't let nobody, I don't care whoever preaching and teaching and telling you trouble ain't going to come to you. No, they in error. That's not true. First of all, if you're a born-again believer, you better know you're on the hit list. I find out the more the Lord manifests himself through me, the more the enemy fight me. But guess what? I found out since he is defeated through God's word, God tell me how to fight this invisible demon. The Bible said the weapon of my warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God. See, we don't fight with natural. We got spiritual weapons. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, he said, take on the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We fight the enemy with word, and Jesus was that example for all of us. And you know what he did? In Matthew 4, when he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, how did Jesus fight the enemy? He fought him with words. Ain't been too long ago I experienced some hard times, and one day I was just sitting in my office, and I was just thinking about it, and I said, Lord, and the Lord said, you know how Jesus got back at Satan? You remember when John the Baptist, when Jesus got the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded? You know how Jesus retaliated? He said he went about healing all that were sick and delivered those that was oppressed. And the Lord said, you know how to get back at him? He said, keep on doing what I told you to do. He said, that's how you get back. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadows of death. Whenever you're going through a hard time, you don't need to pull aside and put your car in park, but you need to keep walking. You need to keep on praising him. If you somebody right now, if what you're dealing with right now, it don't look good, listen, start praising God. Start sitting back, counting up your blessings. Father, I remember when. I remember when I was going through this and looked like it wasn't no way, but God, you made a way. Begin to praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to praise him. But I want to show you, I'm showing you how he remembered them. Go back to that 24th verse. I'm in Exodus 3:24. It said, and God hear their groaning, and God remember his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. But I want to show you that. I'm going to go back. Yeah, I'm being a little repetitious. Go back to Genesis. I want you to see this because this is so important. I'm trying to show you, you and I in covenant with God this day. And when you get in a hard place in a rock, you can go back and say, God, I'm in covenant with you. I'm Abraham's seed. And you said, those that bless me, you will bless. Those that curse me, you will curse them. You bless Abraham. You was his shield. You was his buckle. You were his supplier. You was his strengthener. And Father, I thank you in this covenant. Jesus sealed this covenant. I got a better covenant. See, back then up on the old covenant, the Spirit of God went in people. The Spirit of God would just come upon people. They didn't know nothing about the spirit realm to a certain degree. I think it was Ezekiel and Daniel. They saw some things in the spirit. God opened up their eyes for the spirit. But a lot of people back then didn't know a lot of stuff about the spirit realm. That knowledge hadn't even hit. The revelation of that, it hadn't came on the scene. And I'm telling you, we're in a better covenant. But like I said, I want to show you, God told Abraham, in Genesis 17 and 7, he said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations, an everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. And see, this what that like I said, Genesis come before Exodus. The covenant God made, it was in Genesis with Abraham. But this was to Abraham's seed after he died. And Moses was part of it. Okay, let's go on. I'm going back there. I want to show you this. I want to get through with it, but I want to show you the importance of obedience, really. Exodus, the second chapter. I was in the second chapter. The 24th verse, he said, and God hear their groaning, and God remember his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Okay, now, I want you to look at, we're going to go to Exodus, look at the third chapter, the 6 and 8 verse. I want to show you something again. I want to show you, now, Moses was part of Abraham. See, but the seal of the covenant with Abraham back in Genesis, back in Genesis the 17th chapter, God told him that, let me go in Genesis the 17th chapter. It said, in that ninth verse, for time's sake. Okay, we're going to say for time's sake. We're going to drop down for time's sake. Genesis the 17th chapter, 10th verse. He said, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant be with me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. Multiple part of Abraham's generation. He that is born in the house, or bought with money in his granger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in the house, and he that is brought with thy money, must need be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in their flesh. Now this was a sign that they were circumcised. Now in this new covenant, we don't have to circumcise no more. Now some people still circumcise the male. But we do a spiritual circumcise by accepting Jesus, our Lord and Savior. That's a spiritual circumcise, our heart. By receiving Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he take out the stony heart. He give us a heart of flesh. Okay? But back then, because the time hadn't came for Jesus to fulfill the law, because man couldn't do it. That's why every year we had to have a high priest. They had to make atonement for sin. What they did, the atonement did not have their power of the ability to remove guilt or sin out of their heart or deliver them from a sin conscience. And you got some saints, you born again, but you still operating in the sin conscience because you haven't renewed your mind. The enemy constantly accusing you of your past, your previous life. He constantly accusing you. That's a sin. That is not God. The Bible said, therefore, it's no more condemnation. You got some people walking around here, you say, and you walk around here in guilt about your past. The word of God is for us today, yesterday, today, and forever. But he was telling, he still talking about being circumcised. He said, in the third day, he that is born in the house, he that is brought with thy money, must need be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. By they circumcised the male, that was a sign that they was in covenant with God forever. And the uncircumcised man child who flesh his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He have broke my covenant. And at that time, Abraham got all of me, and they were circumcised. Abraham was circumcised at 99 years, so he took all, according to the scriptures, you drop down to that 21 verse. It tells us how he was circumcised. It tells us, like I said, at that 21, it started at the 21 verse, but it tells you how Abraham and all his house circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day as God had said unto them. And Abraham was 90 years old. And now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. And he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Also, he said, Ishmael's son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. But see, this is what God told him. This would be his part. He had to circumcise them. Now, go back to Exodus, the third chapter. Look at that sixth verse. Now, like I said, we find out in Exodus, the second chapter, the 24th verse, how God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when the children of Israel start crying out for help, God heard their cry. And here God is coming on the scene and finna do something. But I want to show you about the circumcised. It's so important. Really, I want to show you this because obedience to God. And some of you ain't obeying God. Some of you done violate the laws and principles of God. And that's what's standing between you and your manifestation. And you need to repent. Now, come on. I'm telling you, in a covenant, it's two people. In my covenant, it's God and Ann. And God have required some things that Ann have to do, her part of the covenant. Covenant is two people. We wouldn't have so many divorces if husband and wife come into knowledge and understand what is covenant, what it means when a husband and wife get married, they come in covenant. If you go to some foreign country like Africa and certain places, they know they have more knowledge and understanding about covenant than we do. Okay, in Exodus, the third chapter. Now, this one God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But I want to show you, I want you to drop down to that sixth verse. It says, moreover, he said, I am. Now, this after God told Moses to remove his shoes from him, so holy ground. He said, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon. Now, the point I want to show you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they understood what it meant to be in covenant with God, because Abraham talked. They understood. They understood covenant. But here God was reminding them, reminding Moses about the covenant that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, look at that seventh verse. He said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow, and I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt and bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land floated with milk and honey unto the place of Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And look what he's saying. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression whereof the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, here God telling him what he's finna do. I want you to see this here. Look at, now we're going to go into Exodus. In Exodus, the fourth chapter, Exodus fourth chapter. Like I said, I'm showing you this because I want to show you God keep his promise. God keep his promise. In Exodus 4:25, and that's the one I want, 4:25, yes. And 4:25, now after God done called Moses and told Moses what he wanted to do, and everybody, if you don't register, Moses had a problem. He had a stutter problem, a speech impediment problem, and he was telling God he couldn't do it and all that. That just like some of us. Whenever you ignorant and have a lack of knowledge or no knowledge about who our Creator is, who God is, you know, it's good to know in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. But the Bible also tells us what God is to humanity and what humanity is to God. And once you come into knowledge to know who God is and how God feel about you, what God say about you, listen, you'll be able to resist stress, persecution, affliction, all the stuff that the enemy come to torment you with. Once you come into knowledge to know how God feel about you. Now, a lot of people say, I know God loved me, but do in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trouble, do you still acknowledge, God, you love me? This is not a sign. What I'm experiencing, this impossible situation or what people are saying about me, this is not what you're saying about me. God, you still love me. The Bible said God remains faithful to us when we don't remain faithful to him. See, God know all about all of us. One of my scriptures that God gave me right after I got saved, and like I said, I went through a lot of things, but he said, ain't you a fearfully made? He said, I made you who you are. I love you just like you are. He said, you allow yourself to be disheartened and sad because of what somebody else say about you. Do you know how much I love you? Yes, St. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. But listen, my brother and sister, I pray today that God will open up your eyes pertaining to his love to you as an individual, what you mean to him. Sometimes we allow what other people say about us to cause us to be sad, to be discouraged, cause us want to throw in the towel. But do you really know how much God loves you? But there too, again, in this new covenant, it's laws and principles and certain things God requires from us. Okay, I want to get through this. Okay, in Genesis, like I said, the fourth chapter, look at that, well, we're going to start at that, let's start at that 22nd verse. Okay, it says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, God was telling Moses what he supposed to say unto Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, 23rd verse, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. 24th verse, and it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now it tells about Abraham, Moses' wife took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. Well, really what it was, what happened was Moses had circumcised his son. That was the thing. Remember, I showed you in Genesis 17 how God told Abraham he had to circumcise his foreskin and circumcise all the people, and whoever come into Egypt, whatever, they had to be circumcised. Well, see, he had to do that. But Moses, for some reason, Moses failed to circumcise his son. And I'm telling you, that's why I said it's so important. Whatever God requires us to do, I want you to hear me. Whatever, hear me good. Now, in that 24th verse, it said the Lord sought to kill Abraham. It said Moses had neglected, reading some notes, Moses had neglected to perform the covenant sign of circumcision in case of his own son. This was seen as a clear sign of disobedience on the part of Moses and his wife. And that's why I said in Genesis 17, God said that you had to be circumcised. Evidently, God afflicted Moses. Now, some theologians say that God afflicted Moses with some kind of illness. You know, but my point I want to show you, because Moses has failed, violated the law in the covenant. He posed to be in that circumcised. He didn't do it. So God was dealing with him about it. And some of you listening at this broadcast, Satan ain't your problem. He wants you to believe that. But I pray, and you need to ask God, reveal to me, what is I'm missing here? Why is I'm experiencing all this turmoil? Why is this happening to me? Why am I not seeing the manifestation? Now, some people say, you don't post a question, God. Don't pay that no mind. The Bible says, the Bible tells me to count it all joy. In James, the first chapter, when I fall in divers temptation. But if any man like wisdom, let him ask God. You know, it have been time I said, okay, God, what's I'm missing it? I know it ain't Satan, and I know it ain't you. Jesus said, one of the first things Jesus said to those disciples when he called them, he said, if you're going to follow after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. Now, let me tell you something. You is your biggest problem. Prophet Miller is her biggest. I'm my biggest enemy, because the enemy, he has to come from the outside in. And the enemy play on our ignorance, our lack of knowledge. He thrives on you and I not knowing. If he can keep us not reading this word and finding out. Well, the Bible revealed to me my covenant right, my covenant. It revealed to me what God required me to do in the covenant. Just like people don't believe it. Forgiveness is one of the things God required us to do in the new covenant. Forgive. That's right. Then he got somewhere in the covenant. He don't want us to walk in bitterness and resentment. Another one, he tell us not to murmur and complain. That's why I think it's in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. You go in Corinthians. It talk about what God, how Moses was continued to refer to the Old Testament. And the reason why he did that, he said because he didn't want us to fall into the same temptation. I'm trying to make sure that I'm saying it right. He don't want us to fall in the same temptation, the same thing that hindered the children of Israel. He tells us that. He don't want us to fall in the same thing and deal with the same thing, because the children of Israel, the gospel preached to them, God told them what he wanted for them, and they still were acting crazy. Come on, somebody. The Bible tells us that they was acting, if them old saints are acting a fool. They was really acting a fool. And the Bible tells us that God, it's in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. It tells us that God do not want us. It tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 5th verse, it said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they was overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things was our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them. Really, he said, let us not. That's what he's saying in one translation. Tempt. And were destroyed by serpent. Neither murmur, yet as some of them also murmur, and was destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for admonishment upon the end of the world come. Wherefore, let us. And he would tell us, even in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And like I said, it was part of the covenant. Forgiving of it is one of the covenants. God require us to forgive one another. He forgive us. He require us to love one another. He require us to treat others like we. All of these are part of the covenant, you know. And like I said, Satan is not your problem. He wants you to believe that. Jesus told him to say, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. And we do. Flesh do not want us to deny it. Flesh want to do what it want to do. You go to Galatians, the 6th chapter, it talk about the flesh, the fruits of the flesh. Our flesh have desire. My flesh don't want to read the Bible. I can sense the Holy Spirit say, okay, you need to get in your my flesh. I don't want to read. I don't want to do that. Flesh do not want to obey God. Flesh want to do what flesh want to do, when it want to do, and how it want to do. That's the way the enemy works. And I'm telling you, when you understand this covenant, that's why I want to show you. And this was, like I said, in Exodus, the 4th chapter, in that 22nd verse, Moses had failed to circumcise his son. That was part of the covenant. Remember Genesis 17? I showed you in just, you had to do that. And I'm telling you, when it come down to the word of God, his certain thing God requires to do in this new and better covenant. And that's why we need to do it. Go read it. It tell us. In the covenant, it tell us, let not your heart be troubled, yet believe in God, also believe in me. Who let not? You let not. And I found out when you lack in knowledge of what God's word say in this new covenant, that you're going to violate it. We tell God most, now don't get me wrong, according to certain thing in the Bible, God do require us. If any man like wisdom, let him ask God. Yeah, if we need what, we need the action. But it's a lot of things God require us to do too. He said, you lay hand on the sick. God go by the heart pillar. God go lay hand on my sister. That ain't what he told. That's not God's responsibility. And I'm telling you, God require us to do certain things. St. Mark, the 16th chapter, he told them to go into all you world and preach the gospel, and he said the Lord was with them. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will speak with new tongues. They will cast out devils. He didn't say just the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, but these are things, this new covenant promise. And one of the things that is better, we got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The Bible said, let us come boldly. You can go to God for yourself. If husband and wife ever get a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation about the power of agreement. He tells us in Matthew 18, if two of you touching the green, acting anything on this, that means coming in agreement. And I was listening to Apostle McIntyre on Friday. She made a point, and she was saying, the enemy ain't looking for a fight. He's looking for agreement. And that really ministered to me. You know, the enemy wants you and I to agree with him and disagree with God. And we supposed to agree with God. You and God can touch and agree. You know, when you read the word, you need to put your name in there. When I read St. John 14, I say, and let not your heart be troubled. And believe in God, also believe in Jesus. And neither give place to the devil. Now, and the thing, what makes this covenant so better, whatever God require us to do, do you not know God give you and I enable us with the ability to do it? And Jesus said, what else make this covenant so better? Jesus said, use my name. He said, in my name, you can cast out devils. In my name, you can speak with new tongues. I mean, he telling us what we need to, what we can do in his name. We got the authority. But see, if you don't know your rights, your covenant rights, you tell God what to do. God, go do this. God, go do this here. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. Say if you got people in Washington somewhere and some of your family members and they need prayer, do you not know you can send the word? Father, in Jesus' name, you said by your stripes we are healed. Right now, I come against that infirmity. I speak to it. I command it to loose my cousin, a loose Johnny. Say it with you. I command it to loose Johnny. And Father, I thank you. I believe that you took Johnny's infirmity. Isaiah 53:5. Father, you did. 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17. You can speak it. See, this is your covenant. He said, use my name. And then we can apply the blood. The blood of Jesus. Hebrew tells us the blood of Jesus were more powerful than bulls and goats. Without the shedding of blood, without Jesus shedding the blood, it was no remission for our sin. We can plead the blood. These are spirit. We have spiritual weapons that fight against these spiritual beings that we can't see, but we can see the effect of what they're doing. You know, no, we don't have a will over nobody. I got to stop. But listen, you don't have authority over nobody will. But you and I have authority over them spirits that influencing them and motivating them to rebel and disobey God. Oh, yes, we do. I got to stop. It's 6:57. I got to stop. But I want to show you that, you know, the important, when they violated that covenant, God had to deal with Moses before Moses could go forward and lead the people. My brother, my sister, you in covenant with God if you've been born again. And God want to set you free, but God is not going to override your will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for this word. I thank you for those that tune in. I thank you for bringing some enlightenment, some more understanding. And I thank you what you're going to continue to do with their life. I pray, Father, as they get in your word and read your word, they will find out great issue that's in them that's coming against them. And they will find out they will be relieved from stress, depression, overwhelmness. The psalmist said, I will overwhelm in my spirit and I complain. When the enemy overwhelms you and keep putting a lot of stuff on, if you meditate on, you start mumbling, complaining. And the more you mummy complain about your situation, you'll find yourself getting weak. You'll find yourself being disheartened, discouraged, and you'll cast away your confidence. And the Bible tells us in Hebrew, when they were going through, he said, do not cast away your confidence. This is not the hour. It's a set on money. You need to persevere. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. There was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your day. God love you and so do we.